Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Secret Cabinet.
This episode, it must be said, I recorded this a year and a half ago. So, and I still, even though I wrote this one, I still recorded the German first and then awkwardly translated it from German to English like I normally do. So, anyways, I do apologize for the quality on this one, but here you go.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Cabinet. This episode, even the German version, is written and done by me, because this is basically a guest episode, so der Buddler can enjoy some time off. And today, one of the Bronx Zoo's most famous inhabitants, a man named Otto Benga. Ah, the times when there were thought to be mythical creatures roaming the world. Surely I want to live in a world where dragons are just out of reach, but exist. And there are men with dog heads have civilizations, and Bigfoot is wandering around Oregon somewhere. And what do we do if we find something like that? Well, we make money, of course. We'll charge people to come see it. But as the world grew smaller, some things were thought to just no longer to exist. Many things that were found were thought to be a hoax, like the platypus or gorilla. But that's okay, because even in the world we live in, people are interesting too. If you go far enough away, the people are different enough that if you took one back home and out of context, people would probably pay to see that too. We call them anthropological exhibits. In German, it's Völkerschau, or people's show. My favorite example is Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. He proudly showed the saddest moments of America to the whole world. He even paraded Indians that were previously defeated in battle in front of Emperor Wilhelm, Kaiser Wilhelm, and Queen Victoria. There was even some 5,000 U.S. troops and Indians took part to reenact some of these battles, including the famous generals and chiefs in the Indian Wars. Actual battles were reenacted from the Western Plains, the Badlands, Colonel Cody's death fight with Chief Yellow Hand. Buffalo Bill is the most romantic figure in the American history in some ways, the idol of every man and boy. Not mine. Indians reenacting their own defeat in Europe? No. But similar things actually happened in Europe itself. Germany had some 300 different ethnicities paraded on display from roughly 1870 to 1940. And that time, you could see them being paraded or shown or exhibited. You could see peoples from Africa, America, Asia, even through just by going to the Oktoberfest in Munich. Sometimes, you get shows with primitives, let's say, mixed with great apes in the show. And sometimes you get humans mixed in with great apes in the ape houses. For instance, like the monkey house in the Bronx Zoo. Orangutan means forest person. And that must have been close enough to kind of categorize it together with however you categorize a pygmy from the Congo in Africa. Now, this particular pygmy had filed and sharpened teeth, and ended up being the most famous inhabitant of the Bronx, too. even though he was the same species as the people that came to pay and see him. Odabenga was in fact a Mbuti pygmy. He was a slave and had been freed from his African slave traders basically for a pound of salt and a bolt of cloth by the explorer Samuel Phillips Verner, a businessman recruiting Africans specifically for this exposition. Odabenga traveled with Verner to the States after he was freed. He had, at this point, already lost his wife and children in the Belgian Congo at the point when he was rescued. Once in the United States, in 1904, he joined a few other pygmies in the St. Louis World's Fair, specifically the Louisiana Purchase Exhibition, which was to celebrate, roughly, the 100 years since the Louisiana Purchase. Well, yeah, because, you know, we Americans doubled our land by buying the Louisiana Purchase from the French. Now it's 100 years later. We need to show the world what we have done with this land. Look, we've built an empire. We have a country which goes from coast to coast. It was the biggest exhibit held, the biggest fair held to date. It had 75 miles or 120 kilometers of walkways and paths that you could see. In the whole week it was opened, you could only barely fleetingly walk by every single thing that was in the fair. It had some 19,994,855 people that attended, in case you wanted to know it that exactly. And to see what exactly? Well, among other things, Odabenga. As a dignitary of a foreign country, especially one as exotic as the Belgian colony of Congo, surely he was an honored guest? Well, no. These weren't Europeans, after all. America had just won wars. One newspaper account promoting Odabenga as the only genuine African cannibal in America also claimed his teeth were worth 5 cents for the charge. That alone was worth it to visitors. Also held and showed at the exhibit were Apache Indians of the American Southwest, Igorot of the Philippines, both of which were dubbed at the show as primitives. Similarly, we have members of the Southeast Alaskan Tlingit tribe, accompanied by 14 totem poles, two Native American houses, and a canoe, displayed in the Alaska exhibit. And Odabenga, with other Congolese pygmies, was featured at the fair. Benga and the other Africans eventually performed in a sort of warlike, you know, warrior dance fashion. They kind of imitated the American Indians, which they saw at the exhibit. The Apache chief Geronimo, featured as the human tiger, who even had a special sort of dispensation from the Department of War, grew to admire Benga and gave him one of his arrowheads. For his efforts, Verner, the guy that brought Benga to America, was awarded the Gold Medal in Anthropology at the close of the exposition. But for Odabenga, this was just the start of his show business. He soon caught the attention of someone else. First, he spent some time in the American Museum of Natural History in New York, and then in 1906, he moved across town to the Bronx Zoo. He became fond of an orangutan named Dohong, who was the presiding genius of the monkey house. He basically learned to imitate some human behavior and taught himself some tricks for treats. Now, the events leading to the exhibition alongside Dohong in the monkey house were gradual. Benga spent some time in the monkey house, and then the zoo encouraged him to hang up a hammock there to spend more time there. And then they also set up a bow and arrow and target and everything in the monkey house to encourage him to practice his bow and arrow, you know, alongside the monkeys, basically. On the first day of the exhibit, September 8th, 1906, visitors found Benga in the monkey house with a sign that read, "The African pygmy Odabenga, age 23 years, height 4 foot 11 inches, weight 103 pounds, brought from the Kasai River, Congo, Free State, South Central Africa, by Dr. Samuel P. Verner, exhibited each afternoon during September." Now this lasted about 2 years, and in 1906, Benga was released into Reverend Gordon's custody, who had been lobbying for his freedom. Reverend Gordon placed Benga in the Howard Colored Orphan Asylum to work, and eventually in 1910, Gordon arranged for Benga's relocation to Lynchburg, Virginia, where he spent time with the McRae family. He was tutored, he improved his language, he ended up going to public school, and when it got good enough, he found a job at a tobacco factory. It was noted that despite his small stature, He was still an excellent worker, and it was great that he could just, he was an excellent climber, and he could climb up and pick the tobacco leaves, and was an asset to the factory. It was during this time, his colleagues called him Bingo, where he started to plot his return to Africa, and started to save up money. Unfortunately, in 1914, World War I broke out, and a return to the Congo became ever more unlikely. Benga became depressed as his hopes for return diminished, and on March 20th, 1916, at the age of 32, he built a ceremonial fire, chipped off the caps of his teeth, and shot himself in the heart with a stolen pistol. For him, World War I never ended. If you want to find his grave, he was originally buried in an unmarked grave in the black section of the Old City Cemetery near his benefactor, Gregory Hayes. But at some point, the remains of both men went missing. According to legend, they were eventually from the old cemetery to the White Rock Cemetery. However, that cemetery is in disrepair, and again, you would have to go find their graves. It's not really marked. There are some similarities between Ora Benga and other people exhibited during this time. Ishi's one example. He was of the Yahi Native American tribe and was displayed in California during the same time period. Ishi died in March 25th, 1916, just 5 days after Ora. 2002, Ora Benga was the subject of a documentary called Ora Benga, A Pygmy in America. 2008, he had supposedly inspired the character of Ngunda Oti in the film The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I was told about this story personally by a good friend of mine that I've known way back since high school, back in Corvallis, Oregon. And one of my buddies just like bursted into my door one day, like, what's his name? Kramer from Seinfeld. And was like, hey, dude, did you know that they had a guy exhibited from Africa at the Bronx Zoo? Something like that. And his name's Ora Benga. Look it up. Sure enough, you know, then a Wikipedia search later, I'm like, oh yeah, okay. And then I've read about this mental floss and all that stuff, but definitely I owe a shout out to my buddy John Veach, who I believe lives in Gresham, Oregon right now, because he first told me about that way back in like 2003 or 2002 or something like that. So that's awesome. All these things you find in Der Buddler's secret cabinet. Even sad people with sharp teeth. Amazing. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this show, and thank you very much for listening. Hallo? Butler? Ich glaube, dein Kabinett ist zugesperrt. Hello? I think it's locked. Butler? Oh, hey. Emperor Norton. What's up? How's it going? Man, look at all the stuff I found down here. There's like these trumpets and this book made out of bound with human skin?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.